What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Bill Bellamy, and welcome to the number one podcast in the country, Top Billing. This is the podcast for the culture, the movement, and the discussion. And today we have comedian, we have actress, producer, activist, all-around, fly, talented female in this game. Got a master's from Columbia. I mean, you know, she educated. She got swag. Whatever. But I have been dying to interview my guest, Amanda Seals. Welcome to Top
Billing. Love Mr. Bellamy.
I've been a fan for a long time.
You ain't even know
I knew you exist.
I really didn't.
I've been watching you. I've been like stalking you through social media. I've been seeing comedy specials and stuff like that. I know you're funny. I know you're smart. Like, it's just like, I had to interview you because I wanted my listeners and people who will watch this to get to know you personally.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, your longevity is...
It's crazy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I must have paid off a real good day. Because
you must not be an asshole.
No, I'm not. No.
That's how you stick around this long.
I've always, you know, came from the heart with my stuff. Like, I don't play games. I don't lie about shit. Like, I've always been the type of dude, like, I want to have good energy, right? And I want people to have fun. So, like, when I was on MTV back in the day, mm-hmm. I wanted, like, somebody who was shy like Babyface to loosen up and have a good time. Me and Janet would be clown and acting.
You see the flexing that's happening right here, right?
My bad, light flex.
Like
Michael Jackson.
Janet and me.
But no, honestly, you know, I wanted you to come on because I just feel like you might be one of the most misunderstood people. And I don't think people take the time to get to know celebrities when they're only getting sound bites on social media or you know what I mean, or if it's clickbait or whatnot.
Nobody will meet you one time.
Yeah.
You know, and like if that one time they met you, you had any hint of stankness, they're like, she is.
Right. You could have something in your eye. You didn't see him.
Listen.
And, oh, Amanda's so stuck up. Oh,
that actually happened to me one time. I was walking down the street in Harlem. It was like 8:30 a.m. in the morning. Some man I didn't know was like, what up? And I was like, and I kept going.
Kept it moving.
And then on Twitter, he like tagged me and was like, shout out to fake ass Amanda Seals. I saw her in Harlem. She can't speak to nobody.
She ain't real people.
It's 8:30. I don't know you.
It's New York. Females don't really want to talk to you in New York. You got to be in the right setting. For all the fellas out there, and if you're not a New Yorker, New Yorkers know most females don't really talk to you on the street because it's too many things could go wrong.
Yes.
They moving fast. If they are not already seated and you're in a situation where it feels comfortable, you're going to get the four fingers up. Thank you.
Yeah.
You get the quick thank you and keep it moving.
Yep.
So anyway, born here in LA.
Yes.
Moved away as a little girl.
Oh my gosh, you read the wiki.
Yeah, I know a little bit of stuff. So, you know, you originally born and raised here in LA, but then you moved on
to Orlando,
got you some Florida sun on your skin mm-hmm. and stuff. You mm-hmm. playing the beach, you went to Disneyland and the world and all that stuff. And then here come, man, take me into the life of, let's high school or like, you know, what were you, what kind of person were you when you were
in high school,
Amanda?
I was little. I was a gymnast, so I was really short. I was like 4'7".
You ain't even know you was going to grow no more.
No, I always knew I was going to be 5'6".
That's it.
I always knew this. Like, I remember my aunt being, I don't know what, why, but she was just like, you know, you're not going to, you know how difficult it is for short people or whatever. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Right.
Because I know that I'm going to be 5'6". This is a phase that I'm in, and I'm going to get to where I need to get. And I willed myself to 5'6".
Okay.
But I was like, I feel like I was kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite where like I was a nerd that didn't know I was a nerd, okay. You know? So you couldn't tell me that I wasn't cool until like I had a friend who was like, we can't be best friends anymore because you don't pluck your eyebrows.
what kind of shit is that?
Yes. But I feel like in high school, I was really into theater.
Okay.
And I went to Dr. Phillips High School in Florida, which is one of the greatest high schools of all time in Orlando. Shout out to Wayne Brady and Joey Fatone, my fellow alums.
Okay.
And we were, like, it was a school where theater was just as important as football.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like we was having, it was like fame. Like we would just be like, you know, we're going to perform for lunch today. You know, we're just going to perform.
We're going to work this out.
Yeah. We're going to pull out a speaker and perform. And then I was really involved in that. And we would do like competitions and we were winning competitions. And I was always very, I've always been a very vocal person. I've always been very pro-black. I've always been very pro-justice. So I was always that person that was like in the classroom, like, say what? You know, so like teachers would be mad at me because
you have an opinion.
I would correct them.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things about you that I find attractive and dope. And by attractive, I mean, like, I feel like that's your thing. Like if you have something that is your flag, like truth.
You're right.
Do you know what I mean? And I find that to be attractive because you stand for what's right. Mm-hmm. And if you and you don't, you're not afraid to say that. I like that about you.
You know what's trippy though is that it's like if you are that person, then people think that that means you have to be perfect or flawless. No. And it's like, no, like I don't nail it every time. Like I get attitudes, like I can be condescending. Like I'm not by any means some saint.
No,
out here,
no, no.
You know, but I also know that there's just this thing in me that says that if I see something, I gotta say something or else I'm being complicit.
And you don't want to be that
person. I don't want to be that.
No, you don't have to. And do you find that in this business, especially of entertainment, I had an interview with Jemele Hill, and we talked
about
who is one of my favorite people in the world. She's another very strong female dealing in the world of entertainment and dealing with women who are breaking through. And I feel like you're breaking through. Like I feel like you're breaking through to where you're going. Because people are listening and they got something to say, good and bad.
You know what? You're right. I mean, I will say this, like the pandemic was odd for me because I was just in my house like everybody else. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I was
in my house.
Shit.
I wasn't doing shit. I was in the house on my phone, like just doing videos.
Right.
And it wasn't until we started coming outside again that people started telling me like people that I feel like I had maybe known as acquaintances or that were maybe just kind of like in my orbit. Like they started like coming up to me like, girl, you got me through the pandemic when you had said da 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 or when you said da da da. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that my little videos I'm doing just off top in my head were resonating with folks in such a real way to where now I feel like as I'm coming back on the road and, you know, starting my radio show and now I want to like pour into my YouTube, I feel like there's an audience that's a lot more that relates a lot more to me because of like my values versus just like a character I played.
Yeah, because the thing that I feel is good about social media, you can sort of curate who you are if you're consistent enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's like I didn't have that coming up in the game, you know. You know, we didn't have social media in the 90s, you know what I mean? I was as a comic, I didn't get a chance to do a funny video and then put it up and maybe get some likes. I had to wait for a comedy special.
Yes.
You know,
and
wait for people to say they like it and wait to see if I get shows.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this generation, and you're blessed that you're the right age that social media is not foreign to you. And you are smart enough to know how to use it to benefit your brand. And I think that needs to be, you need your flowers for that.
I appreciate that because I had to learn. Like, even like YouTube, right? Like, for the longest time, I've been like, well, I can't like do YouTube. I mean, YouTube is for YouTubers.
Right.
Like,
I'm not a tuber.
I'm not a tuber. And then I, you know, at the tail end of this tour, this last tour I did, the Black Outside Again tour, there was just like three or four different interactions I had with black women who really are on their game, whether it's related to the internet or like working at YouTube. And they were all like, why are you doing YouTube? Like, why? Like, you're one, you're leaving money on the table.
That's facts.
And they were like, two, YouTube is made for someone like you because I'm somebody who I really like creating things in the, like the way my ADD is set up. I like making something
you
happen. Like,
you make a cake. You're just going to make a cake.
Let's make it happen. And it's not to say that I don't want to do stuff in the bigger TV film realm, but those things take so
much time.
Oh my God. And you want everybody else's time.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's what I love about social media too.
Yeah. You can still make stuff.
Cause like for me, the weirdest thing that happened to me that you could relate to was I was working on my book during COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing to do. So I'm sitting with my writer every day. We doing Zooms for 2-3 hours. I started remembering all these funny moments in my life. So I just start telling stories in my car. Just telling a goddamn story turned into some epic shit for me.
Yes.
People was like, yo, B, you tell the funniest fucking stories. How the fuck you remember everything? You remember you make me see that shit. And I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't even know it was going to hit like that. It was just random.
Did you know that you were a good storyteller?
I knew I was a good storyteller when I tell my jokes and do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I never sat in my car and just talked to my camera.
Right.
Right. Like, I set my phone up and I just start talking and tell a funny story and then see the comments. People are crying. People are crying. It's just like, I hit a nerve in comedy with a story. You hit a nerve in an opinion or a passion about something.
Yeah.
It's the same vibe, but just a
different... No, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, honestly, even with stand-up, I feel like I hit a nerve in being able to turn that opinion into a joke, right?
Okay,
and being able to bring topics that I think people may not necessarily think I'd be able to turn into comedy, Like, I can bring Roe v. Wade into my set, and they're not expecting me to set it up.
It.
Yeah, they're not expecting me to flip it the way it's gonna flip.
It's gonna flip.
And, but I think that's the part when you were saying, like, I'm misunderstood. I feel like that's the part, like, people only, like, have seen me in, like, certain little pockets for them. And so when they see me in something else, like, I saw somebody, the Shade Room had posted a video of a show I did in Chicago where somebody got escorted out because he was heckling me.
Okay.
And he was saying, you're everything that's wrong with this country. Everything? I don't even have time to be everything. With my
everything.
Thanos? Yeah. But, and so like the whole crowd, we sang Hit the Road Jack and they got escorted out. Do you know there's people in the comments like, oh, so she's doing comedy now? I'm just like, I have a whole HBO special.
I think what it is people want to fight with you.
They do.
They just want to, like, you got the kind of personality you can roll with the best of them. You could do the back and forth.
I can.
And you push a little bit. You ever see somebody? Oh yeah, she gotta go.
Okay, so what's happening right now is that there's somebody who we're in Hollywood, so this is definitely someone who has a mental health.
Yeah. Who wants to knock on the window while we're filming?
Well, this is somebody who unfortunately is unable to be medicated.
Not right now. So,
she said that she's Hannibal Lecter and she's going to eat the security guard for fucking supper.
See, this is what we're doing in LA. So a lot of people come out here to LA and think they're going to make it. And when they don't make it, sometimes they turn into other characters. This lady says she is Hannibal Lecter and she is going to eat him like Clarice. Let me get back for, because this is gonna take a weird turn. So let's get back to you. You are
she a white lady, by the way. You already knew
just
that.
Just in case, nobody black say they gonna
nobody.
Be Hannibal.
Nobody
black gonna they're not gonna do it. I wanna be Hannibal Lecter. That's too crazy for us. We got a limit on our crazy.
So anyway,
you push in a way where people wanna push back and go back and forth. Because one of the things that I've noticed when I see you is you will tee up a topic for conversation. So it invites people to have something to say.
You know what, though? I will honestly tell you that's not intentional.
You sure?
I promise you. Sometimes I'm literally saying, like, hey, y'all, what do you think about da 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 da?
Okay.
But sometimes I'm really just like, this is crazy. Like, I'm just talking, like,
it's just crazy.
Yeah, I just need to say this thing. And so by nature of me expressing myself, then people are like, well, I'm going to express myself. But what I think a lot of people don't understand is that I really don't care if you disagree with me.
Like, right, you don't care.
I really don't. And people be in the comments like, well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like,
they be on your ass, Amanda.
I just feel like they're going to get carpal tunnel the way they be writing these dissertations.
I looked at some of the comments. You get a Bible.
Baby, they write an entire dissertation to tell me about me under my post.
I'd be like, yo, who got the time?
I don't know.
Why do you care so much that Amanda, you think she gonna take the time to read this Bible of a comment you left for her?
Listen, please. And also the truth is quick.
Yeah, the truth is
the quick. Truth is quick. The I truth like does
that.
Not
you don't need all that.
It doesn't require all that. The truth is real straight to the
I
point.
I think they want to let you know. Dot 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 dot. Okay. Dot dot dot. Because you know what? You always got dot dot. You know they'd be yeah.
For somebody who thinks they're so smart, like
dot dot dot.
But you know what? Charlemagne was like, you know, he always tells me he's like, you gotta appreciate that whether somebody is in agreement with you or disagreement with you. They still have this appetite for hearing what you have to say about something.
And which means you have value.
Yeah.
Okay. And my point with that being that in the game, and by the game I mean in entertainment, mm-hmm. whether you're an actress, whether you are a producer, writer, whatever, do you feel like there's room for a woman to be intelligent, to be vocal, and to have a strong opinion, and or does it make it tight? Or is it depends on the person? Do you know what I mean?
I think it depends on the person. I mean, I think, you know, this is a business that is very much rooted in opportunism. Mm-hmm. And it's rooted in, like, fraudulence. Like, people really just present themselves in a certain type of way because they're like, that's the version that's going to get me the furthest, right?
Absolutely. So, until it don't work no more.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree.
So that's really, so I don't think it's about the intelligent part or the strong part. I think it's about the authenticity part. And so if you're really rooted in authenticity and in like directness, it makes it hard to navigate in a business that's really rooted in smoke and mirrors.
Facts. And
I think that's regardless of gender.
Okay, and I agree with that. But I think that's where you live, and I like it because it's alive, right? Mm-hmm. And you're alive. Like you're not a one trick pony. Like you're not like it's not a I hate to say this, but it's like you know how sometimes you know. It's not the hammer pants, you know, like
it's not a gimmick,
right? It's not a gimmick. That's what I mean to say. It's not a gimmick where like right now it might be hot and then in a summer later, they'll be on to something else. When you are authentic and you have a point of view, there's no expiration date on that.
No.
You feel me?
You every time. And then I think when you said like, I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to, where it's like picking up for me, where I'm starting to get to where I've been going, as my mother would say, yeah, get into where you're going. Yeah. I think it's because a lot of people I've been in their zeitgeist. I've been in their atmosphere long enough where they're like, oh, she really is the same. Like she stays legit. The same. Yeah.
Well,
like,
you know, New York cats will sit back and be like, I don't know. Oh, yo, that shit real. You really want that third one. That shit real.
That shit real. Yo, I've been on Shorty. I saw somebody say the other day, oh, she used to live on my block back in the day in Harlem. Like she a real one. She's been the same. But I feel like I'm somebody who just, I think the authenticity thing wasn't just a choice, but it was also like, this is the only way I can manage the mania of this type of business.
Yes.
You know, like
just to be authentically Amanda.
Trying to keep up a mask and juggle all of that is like,
it's too much.
I don't have the capability to do that. And I think I had to come to understand, Bill, that like, okay, if that's how you want to play it, fine. But that means you have to understand that the game is going to rock with you in a different way.
Correct.
So like I had to come to understand, like, so you may not be the superstar in films. You may not be the it girl. Like, that may not be it for you.
Right.
And then I had to decide, am I okay with that? And I was like, you know what? I am okay with that.
Because
I don't want to give up.
Everybody, it's like, I'm gonna give you a perfect example. It's almost like when you're a comedian and you're wondering, can I do these type of jokes, right? Mm-hmm. Like for me, coming into the game, the only way that I could get on TV was I had to do clean comedy in order to get my jokes on TV.
Okay.
So early 90s, right?
Yeah.
And so you had to be able to do clean comedy, and you could do dirty comedy in the clubs, but you had to do clean kind of comedy to be on TV.
Right.
Right? When I was on Def Jam,
I was going to say,
I wasn't dirty, but I was risque enough.
Okay.
You hear me? Yes. You know what I mean? I wasn't like, motherfucker, me and this bitch, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't there, but I was like, last night, me and this shorty was getting it in. You know what I mean? Like, I was saying the same shit, but not, but that was on purpose because I wanted my stuff to play on TV, right?
Yeah.
And so I say that to you, like, being a female, and saying, like you said, like, if I play it safe, maybe they'll make me the blah, blah, blah. And if I don't say that, then I could be the it girl. But, like, you wouldn't be necessarily all the way Amanda, right?
You wouldn't. And listen, you end up having to deal with that eventually.
That choice.
And for what it's worth, you gonna deal with something once you get on, no matter what. Like, when I would say 2019 was like the year I made it. Like that.
That's the year they knew my whole name.
Yes, yes.
Amanda Seals.
That was the year. Like my special came out.
Yes.
I went on a stand-up tour. Then I did a Smart, Funny, and Black tour. Then I hosted Bring the Funny for NBC.
Talk to me now.
My book Small Doses came out. Then I started on The Real.
Holla at me.
You know, it was like, I had like two, I also at the same time had like two very public like bullshit situations happen. So like I was just very in the sphere.
Right.
But the thing is that, okay, it was like, boom, I made it. But then once you make it, I feel like what ends up happening is all the stuff that you've been like sliding under the rug or not dealing with about yourself because you were so focused on your grind and your hustle.
Correct.
Now that you have made it, you don't have to grind and hustle in the same way and them shit start to peek through.
Facts. I never thought of it like that. That's kind of crazy. Because
you put all of your effort really into your career, but not really into your person.
Your person.
And then when you get that career, that's why I think so many people end up falling to addiction.
Or going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
Because the machine,
suicide.
The machine, when you blow and you on and your money right and you're traveling and you're doing gig after gig, you know, it does. You got to stay grounded somehow. Like, you got to find your roots if you don't have them already, because the game is like a wave.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how hard the wave will slam you against the beach.
Listen.
You hear me? Like, when you're riding in the water and you're riding your wave and your wind is in your hair and you got you're on the board, is moving fly, and you cut back against the wave and you cut back to get a little more energy, sometime that wave will come over and boom.
And throw your ass right
off. Throw you on the ground. And now you don't know who you are. You can't find your board.
You got to follow the bubbles to get back up above the water.
There it is. And have you felt like you've had a moment or two that your fans don't know that where you feel like, yo, man, that was tough to overcome. I got to find my bubbles, which I like that, by the way. That's a great analogy.
Well, that's also a tip. If you are in an undertow, if a wave does tumble you,
Look
for the bubbles because they will lead you back to the surface.
And
don't
save
say I never
your
taught
ass.
You nothing. aquatic safety tips here at Top Billing. I feel like my fans know most of like my tough times, but you know what? I will say this. Earlier this year, I said I'm going to dedicate 9 months to trying to sell shows. I'm gonna dedicate nine months.
Just pitching shows and try to get them out. Get my own shit. Let's go.
And so I really did. I didn't go on tour. I didn't do any shows. I really just like locked into that. And I didn't sell any. I got close. I got offers, but I didn't. The offers weren't enough for me to
do it.
Yeah, and I just realized in that time, I was like, oh, I hate this. I really hate this. And this is not how I want to live my life. And there was also this feeling like even when you sell the show, then you got to go through a whole bunch of development. And
then you got to have a bunch of people try to tell you their version of you. That's the part
and
I hate
about people that you don't necessarily respect. Like,
or know,
I had somebody who I know is not funny try to tell me that something I did wasn't funny enough. And I ain't seen him in person yet.
But when I do, we're gonna
have an aside for the block. I'm like, nigga, what the f-? Actually, I can't say nigga because it was a white man, but we gonna have a pull to the side.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck is who is you?
Who is you?
Man wears oversized fitteds, like unironically, in 2022. What are we doing? See, and you want to say that my shit isn't funny?
My shit not cracking?
Bruh,
stop.
You don't know. You don't have the range. See, this is not the range.
This is the Amanda I love. Because I can close my eyes and I'm in Brooklyn. What the fuck?
Get out of here.
Come
like,
on,
I just
miss me with that. Right. I'm with you. I'm with you.
And I really realized, like, I don't have the disposition to handle that. And I know that, I know a lot of my peers, like, they down for that. There's no problem. They like, whatever. I'm just trying to get my shit across the line. Right. So I'm just going to do these dance and I'm going to deal with these people as I need to. And I commend them because, like, they have figured out
how to do that shit.
Yeah.
That shit is hard for when you want to stay really, really locked into who you are. I mean, there's very, you know, I'll just off the top, like a guy like Kanye, as creative as he is, just I'm just using creative.
I'm like, where is he going with this?
I know. But like, just imagine when Kanye first was trying to become a designer. Thinking about how hard that was for him to break through and sort of like.
Yeah, but now looking back. Yeah. I'm like, maybe it was that hard to break through because you were a dick.
Yeah. It could happen. It could happen.
Now that we see
the whole pyramid, yeah, maybe. You never know.
So we had the answers the whole time. But, you know, I think, but to answer your question, like, once I realized that wasn't for me, I found myself like, well, if this isn't for you, then what is? And I really was like, Amanda, what are you about to do? Like, cause I had just, it had hit me for the first time that Insecure is done. And that had been like, that was like my job over the course of 6 years that I knew, like, okay, I got that money. I'm good.
Okay.
I could do whatever else.
Yeah. I got that.
Good, yeah.
Got that.
So
bad.
It was like, it had like really hit me like, oh, you don't have a job.
Yeah.
You people,
this is the thing about people. See, I don't know how many TV shows you've had. One thing about having a TV show.
You about to make me come out there. No, so you need to back the fuck away. Because you fucking up my interview.
Yeah. I love that.
She backed the fuck away, though. She got out of there.
I don't know how many numbers of shows. But I'm saying the funny part that I'm about to tell you about TV shows is when you're on a show, it feels like you're always going to be on a show. That's the funny people that people don't know. But at some point, you're not going to be on that show. It's just no show goes with it.
And it could be just an episode today. You find out you killed.
They might write your ass off, right? So real funny story is like when, like you said it, you made me remember like I was on a series and that series came to an end and I was like, I don't have a job. I don't have a job right now.
He just pepper sprayed her.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll calm it down for about
She was 50. Attacking the car.
Yeah.
Somebody get her some milk.
Just in case you get sprayed with pepper.
Yes, if you want to neutralize it, get some milk. And that's a lesson from anybody who's ever done protests and they come with the tear gas and the pepper spray. I'm just telling you.
I feel something in your spirit. Did something happen to you?
No. Something didn't happen to me. But
you
I
was
just,
in the area?
I was in the area. I was in the area. I don't give her water. But I'm a type of nigga where it's like, if I see some shit, I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? What's going on?
You're analyzing. That's New York all right there. All that. What the fuck? Yo, bitch, back up. Oh, give her some milk.
New York. I'm not trying to sit next to you, but I will not let you carry that stroller up the stairs.
Back the fuck up. She need milk. I love it. See, that's all of you in like 13 seconds. I love it.
Yes.
You went from give me my space, you need to, there's some milk.
Yeah, okay. Because kindness is always at the root. And that's what I think people don't understand about me is like, okay. I'm not a sweetie pie.
Right.
I'm not a sweetie pie. I was raised by a Grenadian. I was raised by a single parent. But, and I was raised by, I think he said, and I was raised by just a world where I had to really protect myself.
Absolutely.
So there's a certain level of
survivor in you.
Yeah, and hardness, I would say, that people misinterpret as stankness or as anger.
Attitude.
And
black girl attitude and shit.
It's not that. And at the end of the day, like, I don't ever want to see people harmed. Mm. I don't ever want to see people, struggling. That's not something I really want to ever, I don't want anyone to ever think that that's what I'm about.
That's why I wanted you to come to Top Billing, because I felt like I wanted to not only get to know you better as well, but I feel like, you know, you're somebody that we need. We need your talent. We need your intelligence and your honesty in this game. We need somebody that's a, you know, stand up for us, you know, type of person and shit. And then be funny. And you still funny. Like, see, this is the thing. You can't, it's almost like, just be funny. Oh my God, Amanda, can you just
make
just
a choice? Funny. I did see that. I saw that on a YouTube where somebody was like,
what'd they say?
They were like, you know, she need to decide if she's trying to be an actress or an activist. And I'm just like, please tell that to Harry Belafonte. Please.
Right.
Please go tell that to Dick Gregory. Yeah. Please.
Y'all Sydney sound Poitier.
Please. Yeah. You sound dumb as hell. Tell that to Aussie and Ruby.
But see, the thing that now that we when we talk and we had a real life situation is that you are authentic and you are so rooted, and that's the good thing about it. Like, don't change that part about you. I think that's the magic. That's what I said earlier, that I think is attractive.
She got the milk.
That she needed that milk. Is it vitamin D?
Thank you, sis. She got her the milk.
See, we Top Billing team over here. Top.
That's why it's
just how we do, home. Amanda, if you were to look back at yourself, let's say we get to tell Amanda, 15-year-old Amanda, some advice now. What would you tell her looking back? Because in this world, you said it earlier, we all have these like masks or like sort of versions of ourselves that are the safer version of us.
Yes.
And I do a joke about how people get to be their true self when they drink, because then the filters
drunk
come
mouth
down.
Speaks a sober mind.
What? So and liquor don't lie, right? So what I'm saying is, what's good about who you are and where you're evolving to be is that that's a lifetime choice. And I think that will get you there just as well as if you would have, tried to do.
No, it's true.
I think it might be a little slower.
That's
the only thing.
That's the kicker.
You ready?
You got it right.
You like, ready to run?
I mean, a psychic told me, she was like, your year is 44. And I was like, woo, she told me that at 38. I was like, God damn. That's a ways away. You know, but.
I want my shit at 39.
I mean, for somebody who thought by 22 that I would be good. Like, I was like, 22, I'm going to have a Benz. I'm going to have all these things. And you realize, because also, I'm somebody who got it and then lost it.
Right.
Because I was on MTV2, and I was popping, and it was Amanda Diva and all this shit. And then one day, they were like, yeah, we're just doing away with this entire floor.
Just, we don't need this whole floor.
We don't need y'all. And then it turned into me having to figure out, like, well, where am I going to get money
from? And shit.
Yeah. And I mean, I've had those moments, you know, and then you get it's feast or famine.
Yes.
Right. And so throughout that whole ride, you have people telling you that the quick way that you could fix this is if you could just become this person, then you could fix this. Why don't you just make a song, like a bullshit ass song, just so you can get your mama a check? And it's like, but I'm not that kind of person. I can't make a bullshit ass song. You know? And, oh, well, why can't you just dress like this, or go on the cover of this magazine and put your booty out? You know, like, I mean, I've been told all the things. And at one point, my mom legit was like, I just feel like you don't want to make money.
Make up your mind. Make up your mind.
It just seems like you don't care about livelihood or any of this. And I was like, no, that's not it.
Mom,
I'm just not willing
to sacrifice everything, Mom.
I'm just not going to sacrifice my integrity for this. I'm not. And I mean, I think for a lot of folks, that is easier to do because they haven't really drawn out what their integrity really is.
Or defined it.
Like, that's what said, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like define who you are. You know, I felt like there's a lot of things I turned down in my career because I was just, I'm just not him. That ain't me. Like, I can't have that on my books like that.
Right.
I just can't.
I can't. And you know what that is? That's just foresight. I think a lot of people, so you know how you said when you on a TV show, sometimes you just think like, oh, this is never going to end. You're like, this is going to last forever. I really feel like, Bill, so many people feel like whatever shit is right now is how it's always going to be. And that's why they make bad decisions.
No.
That's why they treat people a certain way, because they think, oh, I'm popping right now, whatever. Like, this is how I, no. At the end of the day, I'm always like looking over the next set of trees and making sure that I have a soft landing.
Yeah,
and I think at the older I've gotten and the more mature I've gotten, like I've really been better. I've really been working on restraint.
I mean, I didn't feel it in this interview. I felt like you jumped out there on that girl, and then you gave her milk.
Wait, that was after I had said, twice, there is somebody bitch, here who's having a mental health crisis.
You did. You know what? You did say that. Yes, you did. You acknowledged it, and then you said she backed the fuck up, though, didn't she?
And I didn't acknowledge her until, I didn't come at her until right. She looked me in my eyes
right.
And banged on the glass. And tried to come for me.
Right. And,
and now I'm going to have to come through the fucking glass.
Yeah. See, boom. See how we do? Look at those eyes. I wish y'all could see her eyes.
I have rage. Like I don't.
Like, I feel like you do have a little bit of rage. Like, are you in a relationship right now at all?
Yeah.
Because whoever that is, they need to come home. They need to come. I feel like they need to come home at an appropriate hour.
I'm in a love story, actually.
Oh, good. Thank God.
I'm in I was thinking about it today. I was like, wow, like y'all are really in a full-fledged ass love story.
Can we talk about your love story?
Yes, please.
Okay, phew. Okay. Because I feel like you are passionate, right?
Of course.
But I feel like if you lie to you and
oh, yeah.
you catch it, I don't want to be in the hallway arguing with you because you're going to throw me down the stairs or something. Something's going to happen or no. Something's going to fly down the stairs.
I mean, your computer might, but yeah, you're not. And honestly, if it's an Apple, I may not because I respect Apple products.
Right. But if it's an
but
HP,
I might slide the shit. Yeah,
slide
frisbee.
Out. Boom,
frisbee.
Okay, so tell us about your love life. What is it like? Your love story.
My love story. Well, I'm with my college sweetheart,
mm-hmm.
and
nice.
So we were together in college, mm-hmm. and then he transferred to Fisk University.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then he found me again when he moved back to New York, and we were friends. And we just remained friends for years and years and years. And he went to the Navy and he was married and he became a producer and a sound engineer. And 2.5 years ago, I just texted him one night and was like, what's your Instagram? And we were together by the next morning and we've been together.
Hey, look at God. Won't he do it? Won't he do it?
He'll do it. And it's, but at the same time, even though it was a beautiful thing for us to come together, it has been a consistent journey of like willingness to let that other person show you how to be better.
That's what relationships is.
And I think that
gotta
was
listen.
Something. Yeah.
I know. It's tough.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pause. Listen.
The
pause is tough for you. I could tell.
You know what? The pause is tougher for him.
Tougher for him?
Yeah. Yeah. The pause is tougher for him. I had to learn the pause, but once I'm the kind of person though, like when I learn it, I'm gonna learn it. Like
if I get to that,
yeah,
I'm gonna do that.
It's just sometimes it just takes a minute for something to really matter enough or like make sense enough. Like sometimes someone could tell you something 5 different ways, and you like I still don't get what you on right now. I still don't see it. I'm not fucking with it. But that 6th time, you like
oh.
Now I understand.
I see.
And so now I can shift.
Yo, but I mean, you know.
But can I just say one more thing though?
Yeah, baby. Go ahead.
I think, and Michelle Obama's been talking a lot about her relationship with Barack lately, but I think for a lot of us, we're like, well, I don't want to have to say it 6 times. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to tell you about something 6 times.
Right.
I want to tell you maybe twice, and then you
the
should be
most.
Able to. And the reality is especially like if you're dealing with someone who's in their 40s. That
they,
person is who that person.
Yeah, and they don't hear the first 4 or 5 times, so you gotta say 7.
Like you know, you got you meeting people
right.
after they've lived a whole life.
It's hard to conform. It's hard to conform when you know, like you said, the older you get, you know, and some people found love at different portions of their life, at
yes.
different chapters.
Yes,
you know, I feel like. Based on what you're saying, you needed that time to get to this point.
We would not be together
work.
If
yeah.
we had gotten together earlier.
Yeah.
And now we've lived together 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just you come to realize, like, you needed that life before to make this life now.
And value it. You know what I'm saying? I've been married 21 years.
21?
21.
Crispus
my
addicts.
My kids are like, you know, 16 and 19.
Wow.
And me and my wife always talk about this. Like, we could have never met before we met. Mm. We wouldn't have been ready.
Right.
It was no way. Like, where I was, where she was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to be ready.
You was in the 90s with the S curl.
What?
What? You were busy.
Stop playing with me.
You were busy.
Shit. I was on the box. So,
listen,
anyways.
You had a glossy lip. You was out.
I had the LL Cool J's out this
you
month.
You was out here. And let me also add, you are taller than I expected. So you was out here.
Tall, dark, and handsome. Yeah. Stop playing with me in 91, 92.
It was a time.
I'm doing me.
It was a time for you.
It was a moment. So both of us always laugh about that. Like, how could we have ever? And, you know, and it took maturity. It took, you know, listening. It took, like, pausing.
Humility.
And
there's no ego in a relationship.
Right, yeah, you just got to... You know, you ain't gotta be right on all of them.
I feel like also sometimes people be feeling like somebody's walking over you if you listen to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you
like,
do. That's that New York shit in me. Right. I always say shit like this because I think you can relate to this and shit. You know when we start clapping, right?
Yo,
everything I love.
Deadass.
Deadass! I would never, ever, you know, you got
And my man is from Southside Jamaica, Queens.
So you already know, deadass. Yes. Like, deadass is serious. And on everything I love, like, I can't believe I'm letting you talk to me like that. Like, literally.
Or literally just a certain intonation of yo.
Yo. That means ease the fuck up. Like, you know what I'm saying? But people don't know that side of me. They're like, oh, Bill. Bill's so happy.
But that's
Bill
fine.
Every day.
They don't need to.
You don't need to see it till you need him to appear. Like, for me, I'm easy. I don't want no drama. I ain't really trying to, you know, press no buttons on people. But, like, I'm always going to protect mine. You feel me?
Trust everyone, but never sell your sword.
Write this shit down. She out here dropping milk. She dropping how to find your goddamn bubbles. Amanda, I got every guest that comes on my show. Every guest on my show, we do this thing called boom, ba-dum, boom, boom, all facts.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, sit up straight. So on all facts, we ask you a question and you have to tell the truth.
Oh.
Yeah, I would walk you into your...
I was like,
God, do
we're
something
in Amanda
hard.
Land.
All right, cool. All facts, Amanda Seals, you get to pick four of your funniest comedians to go to do a show with here in LA. What four comedians would you pick? Big time show. You guys are going to do SoFi. That's huge. That'd be huge. Give me four comedians you want to rock with.
John Mulaney.
Boom.
Chris Rock.
Boom.
Sam Jay.
Boom.
And my opener, Reg Thomas.
Okay. No Bill Bellamy. Okay, cool. That's cool. You ain't see me going like this. And y'all ain't hear me say, Bill. No, okay, cool. Okay. Number two. two. All facts, number two for Amanda Seals. Give me three women that you feel most directly influenced your life.
Oh, my mom.
And you have to do her accent, because I love it.
Annette Seals of Montmorency, Grenada, yes. Who has always said, Amanda was a very intense child. So I would say my mom. I would also say my high school drama teacher.
And?
Karen Ruggiero.
Hi, Karen.
Three women that really really shaped my life. I would also, this is more of an abstract one.
Okay.
The comedic women of the 90s.
Oh, nice.
So just like
that vibe.
Just that vibe from Tisha to Tichina to Jasmine to Cree. Yeah. You know, like me watching that let me know that I could be me.
Ah, that's fly. I like
you feel
that.
Me?
Yeah.
Like, so just that collective when I was coming up in the, you know, very impressionable age that I was in my early teens, you know, you're watching them being silly, right? They could be silly, but they still fine,
know,
and sexy, but they smart.
Yeah.
Like they're doing all the things. And like, that's really me. Like I'm very intense and serious, but I'm also a goofball and silly. Like,
and a nerd.
a full blurred, a black nerd.
And here's the other part. And resourceful as a fuck.
Yeah, I'm super
like, you know, like what we need. In a, like, I, like now that I know you, we could do Survivor together or Amazing Race.
I feel like
you could be my partner. Like yeah. I never really yeah. found anybody that I knew now that could like we could get up the mountain.
Yes,
and we
we're
could,
going
and
to
if,
do
and
it.
And if we got pepper sprayed, you'd be like, Bill, open your eye and get this goat milk.
But listen, that's honestly what I feel like has allowed me to have longevity is being able to pick up very fast and like. Okay, being resourceful. Like, oh, we got to do this now. Okay.
Right, right,
so,
right.
like, now I'm back at radio. I'm doing my radio show, The Amanda Seale Show, and it's a syndicated radio show. And
Where can we listen?
You can listen everywhere. So, syndication means that you're in, like, different markets.
Correct.
So, starting at the top of the year, I will be in Philly, Houston, Charlotte, Columbus, and Richmond.
Absolutely.
And nice. You can listen also wherever you get your podcast because it's turned into a podcast every day. So every day you can go on any podcast with Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, et cetera, and just put in The Amanda Seale Show.
And we on.
And we on. But I feel like my resourcefulness has allowed me to be able to pivot, you know, yeah. and go into new spaces and be able to pick up quickly what needs to get done in that space.
I want to do a movie with you.
Let me know. I'm not auditioning.
No.
Yeah, offer only.
I'm definitely going to get a role that I think you just can do it. I know what I already know.
Because you know what my rule is for work now?
What is it?
Fun money.
It should be fun.
Fun money. Like right. at this point, it's like we in a business where we are so blessed to get to just do this as a job.
Yeah.
You're not gonna stress me. Like you not. Fuck that. If that was the deal, I would have just went and been a cardiothoracic surgeon. But I'm not.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
You didn't want to do that and stress out the other way. Fun.
This is PR, not ER.
Right, listen to me. We have learned today that Amanda is 100. We're going to call it, you know, we're going to keep it East Coast right now. She 100. You all that.
For sure.
Okay, and a bag of chips. But yes. Don't touch my chips. Don't grab them.
It's actually true. And I actually lost a friend over that. For real.
I can't take you.
No, for real. I lost a friend over that. I was eating the bag of chips.
And she snatched
it. She reached over and just put her hand in the bag of chips.
And you don't know where her hand's been.
I don't care where your hand. What the fuck are we doing?
See that?
And I'm an only child.
Oh,
cut
stop,
it out.
Stop.
I was like, why would you do that? Why? And she was like, oh, I didn't think it'd be a problem. I was like, you think it'd be a problem? You just reached into my bag of chips. And it wasn't a big bag of chips. This wasn't like a giant. This was just a fun size.
It was a fun size.
There's only like 5 Fritos in here to begin with.
You can't share that, though. We don't share fun size.
She felt some type of way.
Yeah.
And we ended up. That was literally the downfall of our friendship. I think she had some like lingering stuff that she had never spoke on. But
that part was it. She felt it. You know who you are. Hey, everybody, that is Amanda
Seale. There's no more facts?
No, you want one more?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, give them one more. Okay, really quick. All facts with Amanda Seale. Amanda Seale, you have to pick your next special. What do you think you would want the title to be in one word?
It's two words.
Okay.
Truth Translator.
Ooh, fire! That's how Truth Translator is hard body.
And I may end up doing this special myself. I have 90 minutes right now.
Ready.
We could do it right now. And I'm not going to wait for these people to be ready.
No, do it.
So if by the end of January, mm-hmm. it hasn't been picked up.
Picked up, let's go.
I'm going to just shoot it and put it out and figure it out. No.
And get your own money.
Yeah.
Amanda Seale, it's been real.
Thanks, Bill.
I love it. Amanda Seale, top villain. She's gotta be put in our platinum series, man. This woman is not to be played with. She's a force in this game, an innovator and a creator and a talent. One more time for Amanda Seale, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Oh man.
Fun time.
How did you do that?